The title of it is Dead in Sins or Dead to Sin. And as we go through our day, we have a constant reminders of what death and life are, and the expectation that people that we love, people that we sometimes don't know even, but we hear about these 35 people killed, 50 people killed. All this is kind of remote in many ways, and then sometimes it comes very close to us. Our parents die, or a spouse dies, or sometimes a child dies. And so that death experience is all around us. But none of us, unless we've had the shock paddles and came back, or got raised from the dead, have any first-hand knowledge of what it is to die. And people are afraid of that. They're terrified of it. They don't have the understanding that they have the Lord Jesus Christ and that they are already raised from the dead. So what I'm going to be talking about today is the viewpoint that God uses in the analogy of death. Because when he talks about death and he tries to relate it to us, he uses a term like sleeping for us who are born again. And it's an interesting way that he explains death, because it's the only way that we can understand it. It's the only thing that we have in our life that we can relate to. Because when we go to sleep, we have no conscious of anything that's going on around us. Nor do we have any conscience of time. Because if you're in a deep sleep, the next thing that you know is that you wake up. And all that time, and it's like in the morning, and you got the snooze alarm. Sometimes you miss the snooze alarm. Sometimes, the alarm doesn't go off. But every once in a while, I'll wake up, and it's like 5 o'clock in the morning. And I go, I'll just lay here and pray. I'll just lay here and pray. And all of a sudden, it's like a half hour later. I've fallen asleep without even realizing it. And it's a half hour later. And I think it's like 2 minutes. So this idea of sleeping, God uses so that we have a better concept that when death comes to an individual, that they have no conscience. They don't have any way of knowing what's going on around them or controlling anything that's going on around them. So when our loved one dies, the people that we know die, they're out of this cares and concerns of this world anymore. But it's like they're sleeping. And the next moment that they know, to them, it's like 5 minutes ago, or I just closed my eyes. What is this going on? And all of a sudden they got a new body, and they're in the face, it's a face relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's their experience of this death. So, when we're dead, we have we don't work or play. We don't anticipate or regret. We have no will to do, and we have no decisions that are made. It's just asleep. And everything that is done, that is going on with time and this earth, is done outside of our will. There's also a relationship that dies as well. All our relationships die. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 39. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 39. Says, the wife is bound by the law as long as her husband liveth. But if her husband is dead, she is at liberty to be married to whom she will, only in the Lord. That's the admonition. So you have the liberty to pick a new partner. But it is for your benefit that it be done in the Lord. That believing partnership will help you to grow rather than being a constant point of contention because one believes and the other one doesn't. And this idea of the old man state that we were in before we were born again, God also uses that in the relationship of being dead. He uses that term of our condition when we were without Him, without Jesus Christ, as a death. No. It's more like being on death row. We're alive, but we're condemned to death. Okay? Picture somebody on death row. You know, we just, in the news, Oklahoma was trying to get this thing rushed through all these ones that are on death row because their stockpile of the drugs that they do use to put people to execution was about ready to expire. The shelf life was getting ready to go out. And so they were rushing to get all these deaths, these executions taken care of before the shelf life expired. But those guys have been sitting in there for years, anticipating dying. It's different than a normal prisoner. Because a normal prisoner that's not on death row, sometimes they can be paroled, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or get out sooner because of good behavior. So they can actually work toward their release and being free. But somebody on death row can't do that. What's the only way that they can be set free from death row? A legal court order or a pardon, which is, again, a legal apparatus that is used to set them free. But while they're on death row and without that court order, they are anticipating death. And they are in jail, and they have to do whatever the jailer says, right?
Mm-hmm.
They have to eat when the food's available. They have to exercise when it's available. They got to get up when the jailer says to. Their life is no longer their own. They are subject to obey the jailer. And that's what the old man nature's like. We're in this position to where we're without God and without Christ, and now the old man nature is the one who tells us what we have to do. We have to obey it, the old man nature. People without God, without the new birth, are constantly being told what they have to do by the old man. So, we have to obey it because when we were without God, because we are like in this prison, this death row sentence. Go to Romans chapter 5, verse 12. This will help me explain what I'm trying to say.
You do a good job.
Yeah.
You see, it's Romans chapter 5. See, this situation that this prisoner is in, it's worse than being a slave. Because a slave can work himself out of being a slave. Right? Death row prisoner can't do that, no matter how good he gets or becomes, or how repentant he is. I am so sorry I did this. Doesn't matter. They have the sentence of death. And so, in Romans chapter 5, verse 12, it says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and what?
Death
by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. So, even though I was not in the garden, and I didn't do the same thing that Adam did, I am still subject to the same condemnation. I'm sitting on that death row just like Adam did. Isn't that amazing?
Brian's story about the kids being born into
just like that.
Right.
Just like Brian's story about this perpetual environment of being born into this gang lifestyle. So is it death or sin that was the original problem?
Sin.
Right. The sin of Adam caused the death.
Yes.
So the original problem is not death, it's sin. And what is sin? Language-wise, the Greek uses it as missing the mark. Like an archer would have a target, bullseye, and you let the arrow fly, and and it misses.
not only does it not hit the bullseye, it probably misses the target.
It misses the whole county that the target's in. Okay, so, but the point is, it's missing the mark. So you didn't get to that point that you're looking for, that you want. So that's what sin is. So it has a broad application, is what I'm saying. Broad application. There's so many ways to not do what God wants us to do. And we seem to find them all. So it was this sin that God had to take care of to first redeem us and give us eternal life. That's what he had to address first, the sin. And so in verse 14 it says, "Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come." Now, what was the similarities between Adam and Jesus Christ?
They're sons of God.
Both of them were sons of God, created by God, right?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody else was a product of the natural way of how children are born. It was only Adam and Christ who are actually created by God himself. So that is one way. What's another similarity?
Mm-hmm.
Yep, they were both men. They were both men. They weren't part God and part man. They weren't a demigod. They were all both men. Yes?
And both had that connection before Adam sinned. They had that connection with God.
Right. And how did they have that connection? Why did they have a connection? Because neither one of them had sinned. Adam was created, formed, made, and created in the garden, had no sin. Jesus Christ was created by God from the seed that he put in Mary's womb. He had no sin. Because of that, if he had been born the natural way, he would have inherited Adam's sins. But because he was specially created, he had not that liability. He had no sin. But the difference between Adam and Christ is what?
Adam sinned.
Adam disobeyed. Mm-hmm. But what Christ did?
He obeyed.
Perfectly. And that's why he could do what Adam couldn't. Or didn't do. He could have. He could have obeyed and stayed in that relationship with God, but he didn't. Jesus Christ obeyed and therefore could become that perfect sacrifice for us to take care of our sins. But we'll read on. Verse 15. "But not after the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one," what?
Man,
"Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many." So it was by that work of grace, that gift of grace by God, through Jesus Christ, that we have this abounding, this superabounding. Verse 16, "And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification." You see, nobody did the same thing that Adam did, right? Nobody had the same sin that Adam did. No. There was only one way and one guy that could do that. That one sin. Everybody else's sins are a result of that one. All the many, many billions and billions of sins that's happened since then is because of one. Adam. So that's the many offenses it's talking about. This is the one offense, but there are many, many offenses after that. Verse 17, is that where I'm at?
Yep.
And if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Now there is showing the contrast between Adam and us. Not just Adam and Christ. One man sinned, but now that abundance of grace is abound to all of us so that we can reign as royalty. That's who reigns, right? We reign as royalty because of this grace that was given because of Jesus Christ. He's starting to see the difference between dead in sins, this is where we were, and dead to sins. Being dead in sins, we're still bound to the old man. Dead to sins is we're free from the old man.
What was your last sentence?
Dead to sins is being bound to the old man. Dead in sins, but being dead to sins is being freed from the old man. See, we are no longer under the obligation to obey the old man. Like the jailer. We don't have to obey the jailer because it's like we have already gone through that execution stage and we're free from that relationship. Got it? The price has been paid. That death that I was supposed to have was paid for by Jesus Christ. And that identification that we have with him is like when he died, we died with him.
And we do not have to live that way anymore.
Anymore, and that's what we're going to get to.
You know the end.
Verse 18. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, that's Adam's deal, even so by the righteousness of one, Jesus Christ, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. See, that justification shows just how legally that God did this. That's a judicial term, that justification. God is a just God, and he will do everything justly. And justly, we all deserve the death penalty because of Adam. That's justice. But God is also all love. And he figured out a way to get us out of that death row condemnation. And that was by his son, Jesus Christ. That's a heck of a price to pay. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one, Jesus Christ, so many be made righteous. And it isn't just the righteousness that we could do ourselves. It's not even just the righteousness that Jesus Christ had. It says that we have the righteousness of God. We have the righteousness of God. It's beyond my understanding. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. You see, as long as there was no law, people still made mistakes, sinned, and died. But when law came in, now you have like a spotlight of illumination on how bad sin is and what the consequences of those sins are. Yeah. There was no getting away from it. There was nobody that was able to be good enough to do the law. I said, boom. And that's why grace is super abounding. Verse 21. That as sin hath reigned unto death, remember reigning, that's we have to obey it because it's reigning. Even so might grace do what?
Reign
through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. So now we have been given this gift of life. What about our own sins? See, that one big sin, Jesus Christ just took care of.
Right.
But what about all these other little sins that as a result of that big one that I might still carry on? Because I don't believe quite yet just how great that new birth is. And so I still have that habit of the old man nature. That is what I want to address right now. This new life is causing the change to happen. That Christ within us is causing these changes to happen as we renew our mind. See, now we are in partnership with our spirit. We have to participate in this before any changes supernaturally are going to happen. The spirit of life in Christ Jesus has freed me from the old man, the sin. Romans chapter 8, starting in verse 8. Verse 8 says, so then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Does that mean I don't stand a chance in this life of pleasing God? No. It talks about being in the flesh is walking after the flesh. Trying to make the decisions of our life based upon the old man. What kind of things are in the old man that guide me? Fear. Anger. Distrust. These are all part of the old man nature. And if they are guiding my actions and my decisions, I cannot please God. And it goes on to explain what that is. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Right?
Yeah.
If you've got it, you can walk in it.
Yeah.
Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, it's kind of like, well, what are we talking then? He is none of his. There's no, you aren't a part of this crowd anymore. Just, this doesn't apply to you. But if you are, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. So, is this body I'm having obeying the old man? The sicknesses and the diseases and all these other things that we have as a part of this experience of being born into the world of the old man, is that now what I'm living by? Doesn't have to be. No, my body can be energized. Every cell of this body can be renewed and energized as we walk like this by the Spirit of life because of righteousness. My righteousness?
No.
God's righteousness that I have. It says I have the righteousness of God. So it's nothing that I have deserved or done or worked for. It's all because of grace. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also do what?
Quicken
your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. That's a present day. That's not just talking about raising you up at the gathering together. That is happening right now. Because it says, that dwelleth, that's a present tense term, right?
Yes.
In you. He's quickening our mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6, it says, "Who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit does what?
Gives life.
Gives life to us, and when we speak it, it gives it to others when they believe it." We are not living the cause of our mom and dad any longer.
I have a note here that says, "Giveth life or quickeneth."
Yes. Quickeneth.
Quickeneth.
Energizes.
Yeah.
See, we are not living because of our mom and dad any longer. And we're not subject to all that
stuff.
All the genetics. You know, my mom had a bad heart, I'm going to have a bad heart type of thing. My uncle had cancer, I'm going to have cancer. None of that applies or need apply as we believe. As we renew our thinking to who we really are. We are no longer living because of, we are now living because of the new birth, not the old birth. The Spirit of God in Christ in you is how we live. All that you are bound, all that you were bound to by your past is dead. That all died. All that you are bound to now is in your future.
You are recording this, right?
Yeah, but I'm recording. Living by the faith of Jesus Christ. That is where we are now. That is where our life is. This is good stuff. Romans chapter, Roman back to chapter 6.
Romans 6?
Yeah, Romans chapter 6. Verse 1. Like I said, what about these sins? What about these sins that we have that plague our and inhibit our walk with the Father? Verse 1 says, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound?" Well, I've heard that logical argument before. And God's response is, "God forbid." How shall we that are dead yet to sin live any longer therein? And there it is. We are dead to sin. We don't have to obey it. It's like that relationship of a husband and wife. Once the death has happened, you no longer have that relationship any longer. So we no longer have that relationship to the old man nature, that sin, that one big thing. So all that we do that was tied to that can now change. So how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into His death. Therefore, we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should do what? Walk in newness of life. That is the right now reality. Because we are raised with Christ, we can now walk in newness of life. That affects every cell of our body. That affects every word that comes out of our mouth. That newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall also in the likeness of His resurrection. Well, when Jesus Christ was resurrected, did He think He had any migraine headaches?
No.
No.
He didn't think about it.
I don't think He even... Well, of course,
I had heartburn.
No, I'm sure He didn't feel any pain from the crucifixion, right? Even though He still had holes. Somebody said something.
Charlie, I just wanted to add, when you said migraine,
yeah,
I was raised as a child with migraines continuously, and at some point in the ministry, one was coming on, I could tell, and I got mad, and I told it to go away in the name of Jesus Christ. and I've not had a migraine since then, and I thought, oh my gosh, I should have done that years ago, but.
Well, and that's exactly what I'm talking about.
Exactly.
Thanks for sharing that. Let's see. Thanks. Verse 6, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be, do what? Be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. We don't have to be the jailer anymore. For he that is dead is freed from sin. See? The price been paid. It's just that we didn't do it. For if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Again, present tense. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once. In that he liveth unto God. And if we are with him, what are we doing? We are living unto God. We can do that. Likewise, reckon ye also yourself to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God.
So in other words, we're still seated in heaven.
We're still there. That was a previous teaching, John. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. It's like being freed from death row and calling up the jailer and say, what should I be doing today?
Yeah.
That sounds stupid, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Well, every time we go back to the old man nature and says, how should I respond to this? Should I give in to this? Should I be thinking this toward somebody? You see how silly it is to be going back to the old man nature to judge what I should be doing with my life now? Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God. Then that really is where the issue is. Who are you going to obey? That's what this yielding is. Who am I going to obey? As those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. That's cool. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. Yet it were possible to so control yourself that you would not sin against God or man, we wouldn't have needed Jesus Christ. Right?
Right.
Somebody would have done it before Jesus Christ if it was possible. I mean, some pretty cool guys lived before Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Elijah. Pretty cool. Moses.
Mm-hmm.
David. So lots have tried. Done their best to do what God wanted us to do, but because of the old man nature and not having that spirit of life in them, they still couldn't do it. What God is saying is that you can. You can. They couldn't, but you can because of Jesus Christ.
The greater works.
Yeah, that's part of it. So, let's go to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. They couldn't do it before without Jesus Christ. And we can't either. It is making Jesus Christ Lord in our life that really is the key to the renewed mind. We've heard that the renewed mind is key to power. Well, the key to the renewed mind is making Jesus Christ Lord. Literally. Where he is Lord. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever, verse 7, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. So, what are we going to obey? What are we going to sow our life into? What are we going to put our attention to? What are we going to put our efforts to?
You want corruption or life everlasting?
Ask the question that you have to answer every day. It is this inner working of the Spirit that changes us from being ruled by that jailer guy and living free in the Spirit to do the will of God. It's literally where our will, it comes in alignment with God's will. God's will becomes our will. That's when we know that we're free. When we live that free, that we are not being bound up and chained and entangled by the old man. So we'll finish up in 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. Who is his own self bear our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed.
Oh, that's in that verse. Wow.
You see how that ties in by to be dead to sins? To be dead to sins affects you physically?
Mm-hmm. And we're healed.
Past tense.
Past tense healed. That's it. That's it. So we are not dead in sins any longer. We are dead to sins.